You got it tuned to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. In recent years, what's been branded as Americana music has definitely come into its own. You think of everyone from Alison Krauss to the Lumineers, Casey Musgraves, Ryan Bingham. The distinguishing feature, if there is one, I suppose, is that Americana music is hard to put into any of the old categories. It's a little bit rock and roll, a little soul, a lot of blues, and more than a dash of country, that's for sure. Huh. Funny that, because long before the label Americana or the growing stable of artists doing it, there was a Texan from Fort Worth named Delbert McClinton who really had this all to himself. His life story is told in the new book, Delbert McClinton, One of the Fortunate Few. Joining us from the studios of WNYC in New York City, the legend himself, Delbert McClinton. Welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
And as I understand it, you have your biographer sitting beside you. Could you introduce her to us, please?
I do. The lovely Diana Finley. She's sitting right here next to me.
Hello, Ms. Finley Hendricks. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And what was it, by the way, that made you decide to write a book about Delbert McClinton?
No one had ever written a book about him. I was surprised. I was working on just a basic bio, and the first thing I did was look to see what other people had written, and no one yet had written a book.
So, Delbert, what was it like to finally get to share your story? Where did you begin?
You know what? I'm still trying to figure out this whole deal because I would never have thought that anybody would want to read a book about me. But Diana and I got to talking, and all of a sudden it sounded like something fun to do.
You know, the first time I ever talked with you, and I bet you get tired of telling this story, goodness knows, you know what I'm about to ask you about, I bet.
I do. Of course I do.
It's the John Lennon story.
Yeah.
So is there truth to it?
Well, of course there's some truth to it, but you know, that it's been romanticized a great deal, as those stories do, you know. What happened was when Bruce Chanel had the worldwide number one hit with Hey Baby.
Hey Baby,
I played harmonica on it. So when he got booked to do an 8-week tour of the British Isles, I got to go along. So every night, very often, one of the guys in one of the other bands on the show would come to the dressing room and with a harmonica and want to know how I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a difficult thing to show somebody because you can't show anybody anything on the harmonica, you know.
Right. Your lips are too much around that thing.
You fool around with it, you figure it out. You know, you... the Beatles were the opening act on about at least two of the shows we did. And John and I hung out a little bit. Not a whole lot, you know. We didn't become best of friends, but we were on common ground at the time, you know. This was the birth of rock and roll, 1962, and there were few precedents, and you just did it by the seat of your pants, you know.
So John wanted to know how you played that harmonica, I gather.
Yeah, he did. He was already playing harmonica some, but he was infatuated, as were most other people who came to talk to me about it. And I guess it was a unique thing because there wasn't, like I said, there wasn't many harmonica being used in popular music at the
deal, right? So he meets you backstage, and lo and behold, the Beatles release this song called, what, Love Me Do, I guess it was.
Yeah, right, Love Me Do.
And they're thinking, wait a minute. Where have we heard harmonica and rock and roll before? And then they start putting two and two together, and there's that story about John Lennon and Delbert McClinton backstage.
Well, that's it, you know, and it sounds very romantic when you say it that way, and it was, but but you know what I mean. That kind of thing gets romanticized because people want to hear it, and people add to it.
Diana, you remember the first time you heard Delbert McClinton?
The first time I heard one of his songs was the Emmylou Harris cut. That was one of the most popular played songs on the jukebox at the pizza parlor.
So her number one, her first number one.
Her first number one.
What was the name of that song?
Two More Bottles of Wine.
Two More Bottles of Wine.
How would you describe Delbert's music? I mean, as a front man.
You hit the nail on the head when you talked about Americana. with Americana music, people have struggled. And with Delbert's music, people have struggled to define what it is. He has spent his career avoiding labels, and that's challenged radio promoters and record store owners, not knowing which bin to put him in or what station to play him on. Mm-hmm. He walked through so many musical scenes, and he was a major part of so many of those musical scenes, a pioneer in many of them.
I was thinking the first time I ever picked up a Delbert McClinton album, and this sort of speaks to your longevity. That was in 1980, and you'd already had what most people would call a career right there. And his terrific song called Giving It Up for Your Love. And we were spinning it at a college radio station that was playing a lot of punk rock. Now, that says something for the fact that, you're a real eclectic. Of all the music that you've done, and I know this is like picking a favorite baby and stuff, but you have a personal favorite?
Not really. It kind of depends on the mood I'm in as to which one's my favorite. I like all of them. Giving it up for your love.
Diane, I want to bring you back in here because this book isn't just about all the highlights of Delbert's career, or maybe I should say careers, because it seems like he's had so many, but you don't ignore some of the struggles he's had. What are you hoping that folks will get out of reading that part of Delbert McClinton's story?
It's the American story. This is a story of somebody who had a dream and continues every single day working toward that dream. And so there are a lot of struggles in the American dream. When we started the book, our friend Joe Nick Potosky said, mm-hmm. don't write an authorized biography, because then you're really tied into what you can and can't talk about. It's a blessed biography by Delbert, but it wasn't authorized. And as we went through it, and I was fact-checking toward the end, I said I'd read something and he would say, oh, are you going to put that in there? And I'd say, yeah. And he'd say, well, okay.
We're talking about drink here? We're talking about alcohol?
I think it was just that dream was such a big fire that sometimes it came ahead of family. It came ahead of everything else. And, yeah, the 80s were kind of a lost time probably for a lot of good musicians.
Yeah.
And because of whatever was going on at that time. But a lot of them survived it.
A lot of them didn't.
Yeah.
Delbert says, you know, most of the musicians he played with in the 60s aren't alive anymore.
Yeah, I was looking through some old pictures recently, and one of the pictures of the Straitjackets, it was a promo shot for us. We were all in our little waistcoats, type suits with Beetle boots and the whole mm-hmm. nine yards. Mm-hmm. There were six of us, and every one of them's dead.
I guess that's why this title is so apropos, one of the fortunate few.
Yeah.
You're not just a survivor, you're still doing it. You're still performing and recording albums. You had one out this year.
I've got stuff written for a new one, too, that we've already started tracks on. So, you know, life is good.
Delbert McClinton is a Grammy Award-winning musician, a native Texan, the author of Delbert McClinton, One of the Fortunate Few, is also been speaking with us, Diana Finley Hendricks, also a Texan. Thanks to you both for taking some time out with listeners of the Texas Standard. We sure do appreciate it.
Well, thanks for listening to us.
Thank you.